If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sexology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. And today we're talking about something that can shake even the strongest relationships. What happens when a partner's sexual identity begins to evolve? When someone you love starts questioning, expanding, or redefining their sexuality, what's the first thing that gets triggered? Is it fear of losing the relationship? Fear of not being enough? Fear of no longer being chosen? These moments can feel destabilizing, not just for the partner exploring, but for the partner standing still. And if they're not handled carefully, panic can replace curiosity very quickly. My guest today is Genevieve Lejeune, founder of Skirt Club, a global members club for bi-curious and bisexual women with over 25,000 members worldwide. Genevieve has been at the forefront of women's sexual empowerment, creating spaces where women can explore desire with confidence and autonomy. In this episode, we unpack what sexual identity evolution really threatens inside relationships, how to talk about it without rushing into ultimatums or false reassurance, and what emotional safety actually looks like for the partner who isn't exploring. Before we dive in, I wanted to briefly touch on something that intersects with confidence and vulnerability in the bedroom, premature ejaculation. About 1 in 3 men experience it at some point, and it simply means ejaculating sooner than you like and feeling distressed about it. Whenever we partner with a sponsor, I personally test the product. When we tried Steady Freddy, it genuinely made sex significantly longer while still being pleasurable for everyone involved. That balance really matters. It's a delay spray designed to help men feel more control while keeping sensation intact. You can get 15% off with the code sexology at steadyfreddy.com/sexology. Also, please read the label and follow directions for use. All right, let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Genevieve Lejeune to our show. Genevieve, welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
I am excited about this conversation. So you are the founder of Skirt Club. I was just sharing with you that I have clients that have, I referred to your club and they were happy about it. So you're going to talk about bisexual women, exploring sexual identity. I guess before that, I'm kind of curious, can you tell a little bit about Skirt Club to our audience so they can know get to know you a little bit better.
Of course. So Skirt Club is a private members club and a community for women who are identifying as bicurious or bisexual. They also may be straight and questioning that and looking for a safe space to explore that without judgment. So Skirt Club was started by me in 2013 in London. I myself was looking for other women to be friends with who identified the same way, and it was very hard to discover that. So here we are, 12 years later.
I like that the brand is elevated, because today we're talking about people who are in partner, like cisgender vulva owners that are partner with men, and they exploring, as you said, their sexuality. Sometimes women's bisexuality is kind of eroticized, right? It seems like it's more at the service of other people versus something that they're questioning. So it's wonderful that you created this space for women that can explore that outside that context.
Well, 100%. Yeah, we are strictly women only throughout all our events and online. And that's because women behave very differently when men are not in the room.
So let's go back to that, right? Sometimes when people are in the partnership, in a heterosexual partnership, and their sexual identity, sexual orientation evolve, or they maybe kind of notice that this is something that they want to explore. Like sometimes the partners panic. They kind of think about, oh, am I not enough, right, for my partner, that they're now exploring something else. Can you tell us more about that dynamic? And is that true? Is it about our partner? Or it's more about people's experiences?
Well, you know, everything's true. And, you know, having hosted my events now for 12 years, I've met a lot of women and all over the world. You know, Skirt Club is in 36 cities. We are very global. And then, by the way, that includes Australia, Europe, UK, America, you know, and Canada. So I'm meeting women from different cultural backgrounds, but I'm also understanding that their stories are very similar. Most of the women that we encounter are looking for a first-time experience. And I think that comes to be because we're very much a safe space and strictly women only. So that tends to also mean that she's with a male partner and that she's been happily in her relationship for some time, but this has always been something she wanted to explore and didn't know how to go about it. Typically, men are feeling very secure in the knowledge that she's going to a safe space run by women. So that works. But of course, insecurities do come up. Naturally, I think if your partner is exploring sexually with somebody else, there are many questions. What does it mean for me? Will I be left behind? Will she no longer love me? If she desires somebody else, does that mean she no longer desires me? And anybody who's known a little bit about the world of non-monogamy and fluidity knows that all these things can be true and untrue at the same time. So not a black and white answer, but you know, with a lot of communication, we can get there. And so, yes, I do hear a lot of stories from husbands at home who are wondering if she will come back. And 99% of the time, yes, she does. She really has come to explore. And it's a physical desire. It's, I wonder what it would be like to touch, to kiss, to hold, to stroke, to, you know, to be affectionate with, to be intimate with another woman. I will caveat, though, that we have had 4 weddings at Skirt Club. So it's not always true that she comes home.
And do you want someone that they want something else, right? You don't want to imprison your partner, right? I mean, I understand the sense of grief and sadness come with it. But also, if that's like who our partners are right now, I think as a partner, one of the loving things you can do is just support them in that journey.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you love somebody, you must accept them for who they are. And if that's her sexuality that she wants to explore, I think the most loving thing you can do is to allow that and to support it, encourage it, and be there, you know, to hear all the amazing stories when she gets home or wants to relay that to you. Yeah. And I'm hearing so much more of that these days compared to 12 years ago. It's a complete 180 on how it used to be.
Well, I'm kind of curious is how usually see the journey of women, heterosexual women exploring their kind of like bisexual identity through a Skirt Club. So I shared with you, like at times I refer clients, I share the information with them and they look it up. And I know you guys have networking and also events. So what do you see as a trajectory of women experimenting and exploring this part of their identity?
Well, women, we like to connect first and foremost. You know, we want to make friends. I do have a cute little word for this. I call it BBFs, by besties. And it's just really nice to have a friend who gets it. And I don't have to explain myself why I can't choose between men and women, which seems to confuse everybody in the world about bisexuality. The nice thing is that we don't have to choose. We're very certain about ourselves. We're not confused about our sexuality, but I do find the world struggles with that. And so having a friend who gets it is really nice. Having a friend with benefits who gets it is even better. So, you know, these are all the sorts of situations that might occur at Skirt Club. We're hosting everything from brunches, socials, cocktail hours, yoga. Recently, we did a perfume lab. You know, it's all the networking activities. And then, yes, of course, we do more sexy events. These are called Mini Skirt or Skirt Club. And these two events have a very sexual nature to them, sometimes just in the form of a sexual performance with a chance to play spin the bottle with your newfound friends. And in the case of our signature parties, very much a full sexual experience with the chance to enjoy what it might like be to have sex with a woman. And most of our members have never done that.
Well, that is exciting to have options, right? I know many women, they love options. And I personally like options, like when I'm exploring things. But when it comes to like mini skirt or skirt club events, what do you think some of the fears that women have? Like, do you usually people sign up for the kind of like erotically charged experiences? Usually what have you noticed? Or mostly people have this journey of exploring other things and then joining the erotic events?
Well, there are many gates to enter a skirt club with. And really, it comes down to her comfort level and her previous experience. So as much as it could be described as a journey, you know, start off at just a social and end with a full-blown orgy, that is a journey indeed. And yes, I would say a lot of them do take those steps. And I advise that they do as well if they've never had an experience before. But equally, I've seen women just arrive, jumping straight in the deep end and be like, I just want this. I just want the sexual experience. I need it. I want it. I love it. I like it. I'm having it. And women are just as sexual as men. I don't know why people think, oh, you know, men, they can't help it, can't keep constantly horny. And women are too, hey? It's not like we're just nuns here pretending to be all kind and very good girls. You know, we have needs, and that's good too.
You're right that some people need to emotional connection. I'm with you that sometimes people think about, oh, women, they need emotional connection first before having kind of sexual encounters. You're right that there are various ways that people explore intimacy and arrive. And sometimes people like the anonymous, more sexual part of things also, more than the emotional connection. What are some of the surprising feedback or experiences you heard from your listeners, from your participants that they attended those events?
There's always a lot of shock, actually, at how it made them feel, because it's usually an experience they've never had before in any way. First, because you're in a very luxurious environment, dressed very, I wouldn't say provocative, but feeling very sexual in what you're wearing. You probably spent 3 hours preparing, right? So you spent time, call it foreplay, preparing yourself for what might come, which is the mind's being activated into that space, right? I think what blows their mind is just how different it is to interacting with and kissing a man, because women, we're very soft and the nuance is there. And we notice that you've put time and effort into preparing your hair and makeup and choosing what to wear. And we're very complimenting of that. It feels so good to be seen and it feels so good to be heard. You know, we're intensely listening when we talk to one another and we make the eye contact. And it's just so nice to be held in that presence. I think women forget what femininity feels like sometimes. We're often caught up in the rat race and meeting our deadlines and rushing to the next place. We're often caught up in our masculine for that reason, trying to fight for our little corner of the world. And so this is a very disarming environment. In addition, you know, we ask you to put your phones away. We ask you to be present. We ask you to come ready. And, you know, it's pretty sacred. It's pretty hard to find that environment today. We're so fast-paced in this world. It's difficult to just take the time for one another. So, yeah. And then, of course, there's the moment where you do kiss another woman, and it can be life-changing for so many. They've fantasized about it for years, but they've never had the opportunity. And all the feelings, the rush of emotion, the dopamine, everything that comes with the first kiss, which for most women was when they were much younger, you know, say early teens, right? And here you are in your mid-30s or mid-40s or even mid-50s and having your first kiss again. It's like a rebirth. It's just one of the most glorious rushes a body can feel.
And I'm so grateful that there are spaces like Skirt Club that people can go and feel safe engaging in that, not coming from the place of performance. Because I know that many times women feel the pressure of performance, even in kind of like group experiences, threesomes. I mean, threesomes can be excellent and awesome. But if you're doing something that's not aligned with your sexual orientation or your erotic energy, that feels more performative. So coming out is definitely a journey for many people, and there's no one right way to do it. But if people are in monogamous relationships, they want to share that part of themselves with the partner, that this is something that I'm exploring. How would you recommend that doing that? What are some of the best practices that you have around that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a trap, isn't it? The performance. And actually, that's actually why I started Skirt Club, because I found myself at a co-ed event with an ex-boyfriend and I bought the tickets, right? So I was kind of expecting to be the leader in that scenario. And yet, because I was a female, everybody there treated me like, just slapping my ass and pulling me into their scenarios. And I was watching partners and seeing her being sort of directed to go fetch the hot blonde in the corner and perform a sexual moment. And I just thought, God, I don't think anybody actually wants to be here, do they? Because women were just saying, and for reasons they were taught as young women, they were taught, survive, be compliant, do the things, don't speak, make him happy, or he'll cheat on you. At least that's what my mother told me, right? So, there's this fear, like, my God, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose the person who's in my life. It's probably also financially supporting me. And if you have children, that's even more difficult situation to be in. And I think women have just managed to check out and dissociate so well for so many years, we've actually forgotten who we are. So that was my feeling 15 years ago when I thought about this for the first time. I was like, wouldn't it be nice just to have a female-only event? And then we can actually just be ourselves. We can actually relax. And by the way, nobody gets to, no woman can ever orgasm when she's relaxed. Like, stress does not allow that to happen. So, if you're hearing all the groans coming in a sex party, like, I question how real those are. But so, that's where this intention came from originally. And yeah, I find that that's another revelation for women, that they can just let go for a minute, not have to put on an act or impress someone. Yeah. It's stressful being a woman, like there's so many things that you've got to be, got to do and to be accepted. And I do love that women are just rewriting the rules right now for what suits them. And a lot of women are choosing themselves over a relationship because it's just more comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with you. Sometimes even women, like, because they haven't had kind of real erotic kind of connections, right? They haven't had embodied connection. I feel sometimes they just don't even know what does that look like, right? As they're going through the motions, doing these things for the partner at sex parties, because they haven't had that embodied experience, the reference that they have, like, okay, I'm not sexual, or sex is as good as my partner enjoys it. So sometimes people, they might not have those experiences. So when you kind of, with your own sexuality, if you're comfortable, you can share with us that, is that something you have talked to your partners before that I'm like curious, or is something that you ended up coming out to?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in my experience was very much, past partners feeling or expressing disgust actually at my sexuality. Oh, no. So throughout my 20s, I didn't have any experiences, right? Mm-hmm. So it was only when I got to my early 30s that I had a partner who was like, oh my God, yeah, absolutely, please bring her home. And now I had a separate problem, one where he was encouraging, but also wanting to participate, right? So his goal was threesomes and mine was like, I would just like to kiss a girl. That would just be nice by myself, just so I can feel it and know how I feel. and part of that dilemma was what led me to bring it around to just women only, so that they could do it on their own terms and not feel pressured. But so that was my journey. And of course, here we are 12 years later, my current relationships are very much honest from the start, because they know who I am and what I do. So there's really no escaping it for me. My face is on many things to do with bisexuality. So it's like synonymous. But of course, women members ask me frequently, you know, how do I tell him? Mm-hmm. And first of all, I'm like, oh, what, you know, how does he not already know? Because if you've been in a relationship with him a while, he doesn't know you at all. Like, you need to tell him. What's a fun way to tell him? Okay, well, porn's a good one. What most men have an answer to this question. What do you like to watch on porn? And they'd be like, oh, cool. She's, I can tell him now. Yeah, well, maybe we can watch it together. And like, he'll get his favorites out, which, you know, for a fact he has. And then you can offer up yours, which will naturally be lesbian porn. And this is a great gateway into, and this is what I like to do or would love to do one day as a fantasy. Would you support that?
Oh, I love that. Like, of course you have a script for it. That was such a great way of segmenting and kind of like sharing your erotic mind without creating that pressure, right? Like opening the door. But I think in reality, of course, people don't need permission to explore their sexuality, but kind of like play, sharing it with intentionality can help the relational context if that's a path that you want to take.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, permission is an interesting one, right? Because women do seek permission still. They absolutely do not need it, but we are so conditioned. Often I find myself saying, ladies, if you need permission, you have it from me right now. And it just sets them off. And it's in their head is just released from the, what happens if I get in trouble if I do this or I say that? And then they're able to let go. I do hope the day of no permission seeking is coming. And I think it's around the corner. Women are changing so much every day. The whole world is changing so much every day. But society really is shifting with the power dynamic more center than ever.
Well, thanks to kind of like cultural shifts and places similar to yours. So I bet some of our listeners, they're curious about your parties. So if they're curious about you, your parties, your community, what are some of the places they can find you?
Our events, well, okay, are you ready for this? We're in 36 cities, so.
I love it.
If we're talking US, we are in obviously New York. That would be our biggest community. I think 9,000 members or so living there. We are also in Boston, DC, Atlanta, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Chicago, Austin, San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Seattle. And then we have ambassadors in some smaller cities as well who will do just socials, such as Connecticut and also Portland.
I love that. Do you assess for safety when people want to join communities? Because that's something I'm always kind of curious about.
Yeah. So, you know, our ambassadors are recruited from our community. They've always been to an event first. They are given training and everybody must sign an NDA because confidentiality is very important still. We want our private life to remain private. And even if that's not, you know, you're not someone in the public eye, it's incredibly important that you feel safe. No one will be divulging information about you, even if they don't have your name. It's just a sense of security. In terms of the community itself, there is an approval process to join our community. So you can't just jump in. We will need to approve you first. And of course, as we meet you in events in real life, we'll know even more certain that you are who you say you are. And yeah, and women are very good also of keeping watch, reporting when they think something's not right, typically just on a hunch or a feeling. And we always look into that.
Beautiful. I think it's good to know that there are people and the process that help people to feel safe because there is a vulnerability it comes to exploring your sexual self and showing your true erotic self. Thank you so much, Genevieve, for coming to our show. People can find the information you mentioned in the show notes and hopefully we'll see you in our future episode.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Bye there.
As we wrap up, I hope this conversation reminds you that sexual identity exploration doesn't automatically mean the end of a relationship, but it does require emotional maturity, honesty, and safety. Fear is natural. The question is whether fear drives the conversation or curiosity does. If you or your partner are navigating change, the most important thing you can protect is emotional safety, not control, not certainty, safety. And before we close, a quick reminder, if confidence and control in the bedroom is something you're working on, you can get 15% off Steady Freddy with the code SEXOLOGY to support us and our sponsors. Thank you so much for listening, for staying open to complex conversation, and for choosing growth over panic. I'll see you in the next episode of the Sexology Podcast.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.